As you will have gathered from our readings this morning, the theme is about sheep and shepherds from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. Sheep and shepherds are a major theme in the Scripture. People who were shepherds, name me the first shepherd you can think of. Abraham. I mean, I'm sure there were shepherds before him, but he's a key shepherd. He is the one with whom God made the covenant, and it was through his descendants physically that he would bring the Messiah and therefore salvation to the world. So Abraham is a key shepherd. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, were all shepherds. And remember, when they go down to Egypt, one of the reasons the Egyptians don't want anything to do with the Hebrews is because, why? They're shepherds. The Egyptians were farmers. They cultivated the area that they could irrigate around the Nile River. They didn't move around. But shepherds wandered across the Middle East in that dry part of the world looking for pasture, which was hard to come by. The Bedouins, if you've been to that part of the world today, still do that. They wander around and they graze their sheep in different parts. They go looking for water. By the way, I read up on sheep. Sheep won't drink muddied water. They will only drink clean water. I had the impression that sheep were dumb. How many of you thought sheep were dumb? I read the study that was done just recently in England. Sheep are on the same level of intelligence with cows, and almost as smart as pigs. You know, pigs are the most intelligent of all the barnyard animals. Sheep have the ability to distinguish the voice of their shepherd. They can actually know the difference between someone else's voice and the voice of their shepherd, and will therefore respond when called. There's a farmer in Yorkshire who documented this. You know those cattle guards that keep cattle from walking across because their legs would go through them because of the hoofs? These sheep would go up to this cattle guard that was 8 feet wide, and they would roll over to get to the other side. Now tell me that's dumb. So we've established that sheep are not stupid. But what sheep are is they are herd animals, and because they have no real natural defenses and they have lots of predators, they can only protect themselves by sticking together. So whenever a sheep is separated from the flock, is it a flock or herd, Jane? Flock. Whenever a sheep is separated from the flock, that sheep is in great danger. That sheep can be easily picked off by a predator. I left out another major shepherd in the Bible. Well, yeah, I left him out too. But before David, Moses. Remember, Moses spent a great deal of his life as a shepherd before God appears to him in the burning bush. And he appeared while he was shepherding and calls him to deliver his people from bondage in Egypt. And Moses is a type of Messiah. Then, of course, probably the most famous shepherd of all is King David. And it was through King David's descendants God makes a promise that he would have a man forever sitting on the throne of Israel. And it's through David's descendants that Jesus, the Messiah, comes. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, the charge that the Romans put over the cross of Jesus was, "This is Yeshua HaNotzri Melech HaYehudim. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And the Jewish religious authorities wanted to get Pilate to take that down. They said, "This is obnoxious. He only said he was the King of the Jews. He's not really the King of the Jews." And Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." And that, of course, is the title that Jesus still carries, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He is a descendant of the one who wrote that beautiful psalm that we read this morning and that probably most of us can recite by heart, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And in the passage from John's Gospel that we read this morning, Jesus is essentially saying the same thing. How many of you have had anything to do with sheep? How many of you have ever been around a lot of sheep? Well, a few of you. Most of us who grew up in this part of the world don't know anything about sheep because we don't raise a lot of sheep. And during my research on sheep, I discovered the number one sheep-producing country in the world is not Australia, and it's not New Zealand. It's China, followed by India, then Iran, then Australia. And then New Zealand is actually pretty far down. New Zealand produces 34 million or has a population of 34 million sheep. But there is someone in our congregation who is an expert on sheep. And I'd like to ask Jane Levings if she will come up and share with us just a little bit of what she has learned as she worked as a shepherdess. Use this.
I don't know how much of an expert I am, but I did spend a little time in New Zealand. One day I was actually the sheep dog because I had about 8,000 sheep to bring in on a rainy day when the owner of the sheep, a really battle axe old lady named Karen, her sheep dogs were out at a contest, so I was her sheep dog. And when we went out to these very rugged pasture land, I didn't see any sheep. She stayed in her old truck. She sent me up the mountain. And if you run right towards sheep, they scatter. But I had to go all the way to the top of the mountain, circle back like a dog, and zigzag, bring them all together. We call them a mob. So we'd mustered up like 200, 300 sheep in a mob, and I'd be proud of myself bringing them down the hill. And she'd say, "Jane, hiya." And I'd look back, two would have run up the hill, and I'm looking down at her like, "You have got to be kidding." She sends me higher. She's waiting for me. She's not going anywhere till those two come down the mountain. So I beat the bushes, get the two. I find a third one. I bring that third one with me, okay? She jumps out of the truck. I mean, it takes me 20 minutes to bring them all the way down. She jumps out of the truck. The third one is this big, huge, because it hadn't been shorn in a year. It's a lost one. And she couldn't believe I'd found this girl. So that happened about three or four more times, and I was realizing that was less than 1% of the sheep, far less than 1% of the sheep, but she was freaking out over those lost ones. So that taught me a lot. And then a friend of mine in North Georgia does have about 20 or 30, which is probably closer to the size of the flocks that they would have had in biblical times, and they do know her voice because she'll bottle feed once in a while one of the lambs. And so when that lamb comes to her voice, they'll all come. But anyway.
Thank you. In our epistle this morning, we read that it's actually quoting part of Isaiah 53. It said that you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow. In his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his stripes you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep. And that really is a paraphrase of Isaiah 53, where it says, you like lost sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, that is the Messiah, the sin of us all. But now you have returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls, the episcopi. Now, Bishop David Anderson is with us here this morning. I won't ask you to come up and preach. But what do you, when you make a visitation, what are you carrying in your hand? Thank you. And what did we read in Psalm 23 this morning? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And a shepherd will use that rod, he will use his staff, to get the sheep to go into the right place where he wants them to go. Sometimes that's into the sheep pen, which is an enclosure that protects the sheep after they've been grazing all day. Well, bear that in mind as we look at John chapter 10. You actually, these readings that we have on Sunday mornings are so small, you have to go back and look at more. And if you go back to the beginning of John 10, Jesus is saying, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep. And he's speaking of one of these protective enclosures where the sheep are put for the night and are kept safe from wolves and from bears. He who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's exactly what Jane was saying about her friend in North Georgia, that she can call these sheep by name and they will respond. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And then Jesus goes on to say, truly, truly, and when he says that, sometimes in translated verily, verily, he means this, pay attention. I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Jesus is pointing to himself as the ultimate shepherd. He is the one who leads them into that sanctuary, into that place of safety, into that place of deliverance, into that place of salvation. And that we can't go into that place other than through him, because he is the door. Frequently in John's gospel, Jesus points to himself as being the only way to salvation. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief, and he's speaking here of Satan, the adversary, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Then he goes on. And we read this morning. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. What's he talking about? He's talking about the goyim, the Gentiles. In the passage that we read from Ezekiel this morning, it's a prophecy of the ingathering of the lost sheep of the house of Israel at the end of days into a place of safety. And in this, he said, you have been scattered among the goyim, scattered among the nations, but I will bring you back. This is a clear reference, not only to the restoration of the people to the land physically, but to the restoration of the people to their Messiah, to Jesus, who is their Savior. And there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd, Jesus says. There is no salvation apart from Jesus, both for Jew and for Gentile. He is the one who in his own body on the cross bore our sins, as we read this morning in 1 Peter. And that by his wounds, through the scourging that he suffered, we are healed, we're made whole. He is the door who provides us ultimately with deliverance and with safety. He is the only way that our sins can be forgiven. Now, in Romans chapter 3, and I encourage you to come on Wednesday nights to Anita Shippens, because we are studying Romans, 7 o'clock. In Romans chapter 3, Paul points out clearly that what Isaiah 53 says, that we're all like lost sheep. That we're like sheep who have wandered away from the herd. We're like sheep who are in danger of destruction. And the only possibility of our salvation is to return to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls, who is Jesus the Messiah, who himself is the door, the way, the truth, and the life. Romans chapter 3, Paul said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None is righteous, no, not one. We're all lost sheep. But the invitation that Jesus offers us, that he holds out to us every day, and particularly on Sundays as we gather together to worship him, is that we can enter into that place of safety. We can come into that sheep pen that he's prepared for us. And that is a place where we don't have to be afraid, because we have entered into his perfect love, the perfect love that he has for each and every one of us. Perfect love does what? It casts out all fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, with judgment. But if we have come into that sheep pen that he's prepared for us, we can be assured that he has been judged in our place. And that instead of wrath and judgment, there awaits peace and safety and deliverance and salvation. That is what we celebrate. That is why we come together. That is the truth that we need to repeat to ourselves on a daily basis. The devil doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to believe it. He doesn't want you to enter into that place of safety that he's prepared for you, that sheep pen, which is salvation. So we need to remind ourselves of that. We need to spend time thanking him for who he is and for what he's done for us. And that is essentially what we do on Sunday mornings. And, you know, the Lord is delighted with that. Psalm 50, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him who orders his conversation, in the King James that means his actions aright, will I show the salvation of God. We offer him, and we read this in our liturgy, a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And the Lord delights in that, because we're acknowledging who he is. We're acknowledging what he's done for us, that he is the door, that he has opened the door of the sheep pen, and that all we have to do is to hear his voice, to respond to it, to follow him, and to enter into that place of safety. Now, in order to hear his voice, we have to be one of his sheep. He says, my own hear my voice. My own know me. A stranger they won't follow, but they will follow me. And so in order to hear the voice of Jesus, you have to make a choice to become one of his sheep. He won't make you. He won't make you follow him. Someone has said, and I think it's true, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit doesn't coerce. He doesn't pressure. The Holy Spirit invites, because he wants that decision to be yours. Love that is coerced, love that is compelled, is not real love. He wants us to respond to that love that he's extended to us. And that can only be done by us willingly saying, yes, Lord, I am yours. Let me enter into that place of safety. Let me come through that door and find deliverance. Let us pray. Father, I pray this morning that each of us would be able to say that. That each of us, Lord, would be able to acknowledge that we are lost, and that safety and deliverance and salvation is only in you. And we want to hear your voice, Lord. We want to hear you calling us into that sheep pen. And I pray for each of us here today, Lord, that we would make that choice to become your sheep. And if we haven't made it, Lord, I pray for your grace that you would give your grace to every person here who has not chosen to become your sheep. And they would choose that. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.